Not one, not two, but we have three sets of eyes at training camp. So we will get three different perspectives. And then I will give you my opinion on those three different perspectives because I'm not at training camp. What is up, Dolphin fans? Day five of training camp, first day of padded practice. Got a lot to talk about today, so let's jump into it. First shouting out, doing whatever we have to do. For prize picks, you play $5, you get $150 instantly in your lineup if you win and you are a new user. Go check them out. Super, super fun. I have a one that I'll show you guys later for future picks. We talked about it last time. Super fun. Go check them out. Also, we got prize picks. Not prize picks, SeatGeek. I'm losing my mind. Don't mind me. Let's without me rambling on anymore, let's hear me from the past. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app, again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. SeatGeek! For real. Shout
that
out
was
to them.
Such a cracky voice.
SeatGeek! I was telling TD before we came on that my son has two teeth now, and he's getting more. So if I wasn't getting sleep before, I'm really not getting any sleep now. So this is why the words that are coming out of my mouth aren't making any sense. But let's talk about camp, padded practice, the good, the bad, the ugly. Is there any ugly? Let's start with the bad, right? With the good news, the bad news, let's start with the bad news. Was there any ugly today? And I'm going to start with TD. Was there any ugly? Did you see any ugly at camp today? Or bad?
Yeah. Well, I'll start out by saying I was ugly at camp today because I was boohoo crying. I got Malik's signature on my hat today.
No, you did not. No, you did not.
I got Malik's signature.
Okay.
Malik Washington, that is. Hey, Malik Washington. Hey, I had to get his signature after that beautiful day. But as far as ugly today, Doug, ugly. I would probably have to go with. Ugly.
Shame the devil.
Come on. You're never gonna
Kane Proctor didn't have his best day. I'll just say that Kane Proctor didn't have his best day, but it's so I think it's okay. He learning, and outside of that, I wasn't very impressed with the secondary's practice overall today. In the first unit, I'll put it like that. In the first unit, I wasn't very impressed with the secondary's work. Outside of that, I got a Quinn Ewers. I wasn't very happy about his performance as well. I know we're going to go into details and stuff, but that's the ugly, man. Overall, I kind of like have reasoning behind a lot of the things that happen in camp that are ugly, where either it's okay right now, it's nothing to be really alarmed about, or, you know, these guys probably ain't going to be on the team anyway. So that's where I am with it. I don't have too much ugly. Now, if things start to happen multiple days and stuff like that, then I'm a little concerned with ugly.
Alan?
It's interesting because TD mentioned Caden Proctor, and he didn't strike me as having a bad day on a day where I thought the offensive line was not good. Charlie Heck really was not good. And if we're going to be honest about it, he hasn't been good throughout camp so far.
Or his NFL career.
Which could be problematic if there are going to be issues and the Dolphins need a backup right tackle and they're not ready to make the full-time move of Caden Proctor to right tackle. Because right now, dude's not looking good. Austin Jackson got very, 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 very few reps today. I mean, only a handful.
Wonder why.
We may find out. We'll probably find out before practice on Tuesday when we speak to Jeff Hafley, because I'm sure we're going to ask him. That one really stood out to me. I actually thought Quinn Ewers was fine. Outside of that, who else? I don't know anything else struck me as ugly beyond that. I don't like the fact that Greg Dulcich and Jamari Salyer have missed the practice the last 2 days. It could be nothing of significance, but Dolphins were very lucky with injuries in the early days of training camp. That's kind of stopped, which we know is going to happen. But no, I can't think of anything else major that stood out as bad. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to qualify my Proctor ugly. It wasn't ugly. He's a rookie. But that's 2 days in a row in critical situational football. He had critical bad plays. We all know about the yesterday with Zach Sealer, but today with the 1 minute and 20 second drill, Malik Willis in that offense gets downfield and they're in field goal range. He knocks them out of field goal range, but thank God we got such a great clutch, real time clutch quarterback that put us back in field goal range. So that's my qualifying of Proctor. But I did remember one ugly. It was a player that two big time issues in Marshall Jr. Marshall Jr. One of them, he fumbled one. The other one he caught and he got that shoulder.
Terrence, you're talking about Terrence.
Marshall. Oh, did I say the wrong?
Terrence Marshall.
No. Yeah, yeah. Terrence Marshall. Because I was paying attention to him and he actually is a decent route runner and he was getting open and catching the football, but he ain't securing the football. He's coughing it up. And that's two big plays in one day for a guy who's on the fringe. That was a huge opportunity for you to make a name for yourself. And he kind of blew that. So, yeah.
Omar, and then there's a point I want to make. So, Omar, what is your bad / ugly that happened today?
I would like to throw in the fact that we're both we need to be evaluating Sunday and today. I got to praise the offense for what they showed on Sunday because that was proof of life. And what happened?
That's not what he asked.
He asked us about today, but I don't want to gloss over Sunday.
He asked about the ugly. He asked about the ugly.
TD would have gone on for 20 minutes about Malik Willis.
Okay. He asked about the ugly. Ugly. It was ugly. Sunday was ugly for the defense. Sunday was ugly for the defense. It was proof of life. I'm sorry. The offense showed out. I never saw that coming. And it was TD could do his little victory lap, put his crown on.
He's like never a doubt.
Yeah. If Dave TD shows up, they start to air it out. Now it wasn't all Malik, but you know, offense started airing it out. Ugly, the right tackle play.
Yeah.
Trash.
Now, was that a rest situation to put Heck in there and take Austin Jackson out, or you guys have no idea?
You know what time it is when Austin Jackson gets pulled out of a practice. And let's be real about it. Austin Jackson had not been practicing well. I think I named him my stock down for Sunday just because he's not looking great. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I thought maybe he'd come alive with the pads came on and kind of got worse. So my hope is that it's not some injury situation where he's probably pushing himself too much. But then I think that could be the case with a lot of these guys. Like Jalen Tolbert, you can't tell me he's not hurt. And I know he got hurt today, but he's been dragging a leg since OTAs. and it's not getting any better. But a lot of guys are pushing themselves because this is their chance. This is their window to resurrect their career and do something and make something of themselves. And, you know, that unfortunately that might lead you to play through pain. And that's, you know, there has to be some sort of marriage between what everybody considers Mike McDaniel's softness or let everybody do what they want to do ways and this whole tough guy, hard, you know what, you know, everybody's going to play through pain and nobody's going to miss anything because we got something to prove. There got to be some kind of balance. It don't work like that.
But there's also a difference between playing hurt and playing injured.
Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. both are stupid in training camp.
You can see that. So I got two questions. One question specifically for our beat guys, and then another question for everybody. First question specifically for the beat guys. Do you think that they opened up the playbook on Sunday compared to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday because the fans were there? Because you guys, what you guys were reporting was just a lot of dink and dunk.
Not just that, but the defense is playing a lot of zone, a lot more zone. And they're not very good at zone.
So you think they like really like, hey, let's give the fans something to watch. Let's air that ball out and defense. Because there was some parts where, again, what's being reported that I'm reading, that the defense did amp it up a little bit and got pressure, but then they were like,
There are days where you can see that it's a pressure day for the defense. And there are days you can see that there are things that they're working on, like zone coverage. Sunday just so happened to be a day there was no pressure and there was a lot of zone. And all of those slot receivers, all the little tiny dudes got open. It wasn't anybody.
I thought it was the reverse. They were blitzing all day yesterday. Today they were trying to sit back there.
And here's the other thing, too, is the first three practices without fans, they had what I think maybe I might recall a pass down the field for like 30 yards or more.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And then Sunday, we probably went like four bombs away. I mean, you're not going to tell me that's a coincidence.
By design. Yeah. Now, the second question is for everybody. A lot of turnovers, right? A lot of tip passes, a lot of punch outs. How should that be looked at? Because obviously we have the receivers, the tight ends, not doing a good job maintaining the ball, but also you have this defense seeming to be focusing on getting that ball out, especially with the punch outs. You're seeing a lot of it. There was one play, I don't remember who caught it. There's a video of it where you could tell that first hit, he would have got tackled, but he ran through it, and the next guy, boom, punches the ball out. Do you think it's more that the defense is focusing on we need to get that ball back, or do you think it's the receiver / tight ends are just playing real sloppy right now?
Find me the last coach or defensive coordinator who did not make the comment at one point, we're emphasizing turnovers and we're practicing it every day.
But the difference is...
For 30 years.
Yeah, but the difference is we're not seeing it at such a high volume so soon already.
Sure. But some of it, they've done a very good job, the defensive players, of doing the punch out. That's something Jacob does very, very well. Also, they're practically every interception is a pass that's gone off the receiver first, which is really sloppy on the offensive part, more so than great defense.
I know we're not used to that, but yeah.
No, and the pick we saw today, the Tyrell Dotson pick six, this was TD Cavaliers again. Sorry, the bad decision by Malik. Maybe he doesn't do it in a game. But Zane Anderson comes in free on a blitz, and then Malik throws off the back foot instead of eating the sack, which he was not going to do in a training camp practice. And then he throws really low to Cole Turner, who can't make the catch. Instead, pops it up in the air for an easy pick.
But part of defense is forcing, and Halfley talked about it, forcing quarterbacks to throw the ball off their back foot or on the move or, you know, pressures. Like, that's part of good defense. And I think that they're more creating good defense than it is. Yes, it's a matter of creating good defense, and it's a matter of the wide receivers dropping the ball and not great ball placement. And it's a collection of things. But can we sit here and say, last year's defensive coordinator, who I don't know why I have the mental block.
Anthony Weaver.
all he did was talk about creating turnovers, and we never saw any. Yeah. And, you know, but they weren't in position to get any. So.
I don't know. It seems to me that they play more. And then to TD's point, that there's that there are sometimes when they bring a lot of pressure and they're trying to force the action, which as somebody who really liked Brian Flores' defense, bring it, bring it.
That's the and to you know talk about the fact that a good amount, I wouldn't say all the interceptions, but a good amount of the interceptions are off of tip passes. I have not seen, and I could be wrong, I have not seen Malik throw an interception or heard Malik throw an interception directly at a defender. There all of his interceptions seem to be tip-ups and going to the hands.
I think there's one that's directly an interception. I can't. All these days kind of blend in together, but I remember there was one pass where I thought he was scrambling and you shouldn't have thrown it.
Maybe it was the Dotson one.
The Dotson drop. There was right. That was a bad
throw. It was right at him.
No, it's not the Dotson. I don't count drops. So it's
that the one you're talking about that he floated up deep and just put it up there.
Oh, the running
guy was in front of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a play. That was a play where in a game, chances are he doesn't throw the ball. It's either a sack or he would have scrambled that. But he continued.
Yeah, it was one on one. He just put it up carelessly too. You could tell he didn't even throw it with any precision. He just yanked it up in the air.
Because I'm gonna, you know, TD's gonna get you Kleenex for this one. The interception today, when I watched it back, I was like, great pass. You know, he got out of the position and he threw it where. Cole Turner, either Cole Turner's going to catch it or it's going to hit the ground. And Cole Turner tried to catch it, and then he kicked the ball up in the air. So, you know, I'm not really, you know, obviously it's an interception, but I'm not going to put all that on Malik because he had the pressure in his face. He actually threw it side-armed, and he put it down and away. And it just so
happened. But it's still on Malik. I mean, quarterbacks own every interception. We got to remember this. That was two passes in a row Malik threw it low. Okay, there was a play, I don't know if it was before this or after this, man, that was the second one, Doug. No, it was Caleb Douglas on like a 9-yard crosser. Now, Caleb got to make that pass because it's in your hands, and he dropped it. But the ball was low. It was low inside, and I promise you the middle of the field didn't have nobody within 10 yards. Caleb Douglas, I don't know what he did early in that route, but he was coming across the middle just clear. And Malik saw it, threw it, but it was low. It was catchable, no question, but it was low. And even if he did hold on to it, the play stops there. Everybody corrals and stop him there. But if the ball is properly placed in stride, that might have ripped up for another 10, 15, maybe even to the house. I'm telling you, it was that open, which Caleb Douglas got to stop dropping these passes, these gimmies. But that was two passes in a row that Malik had low. Then the interception happened after that one. So, yeah.
What? Malik having some accuracy issues? Oh, man. I would have never thought about that.
See, Omar, every quarterback in the NFL has throws like that, Omar, you know. But
he beat Malik on the throw like that, so.
It's like every quarterback in the NFL underthrows receivers from time to time. I know. I get it.
Oh, and by the way, Omar, I really want to hear from you. Can we talk about inaccuracies? There was some big time splitting defender throws today by Malik Willis.
Did not tell you he did. I ever say he doesn't have an arm? Did I ever say that? He got an arm. Throw it from different angles. He's got a hell of a cannon. Now I would love for that cannon to be a little bit more accurate. I would love for the processing speed to be a little bit better. I believe it's the RAM. Just that computer need to be fast, sped up a little bit.
Get the gigs up, man. Go from 8 to 16. You know.
I see it. It's there. I see it. It's there.
Do you see it? You see it?
Nah, let's not go that far.
Not there. Not that it. Yeah.
I tried.
I will say this, though.
I just don't get it.
We've talked about quarterbacks before. I prefer having the quarterback that has the things that can't be taught. And it seems like from what you guys are telling me, Malik has the things that can't be taught, and he needs to work on the things that can be taught. So.
Fair.
Yeah, but feel for the position. It's got to be instincts. I mean, it's not as simple as being coached.
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's go. Let's talk about the good. We'll start with Omar since it's so hard for him apparently. What give me your top two performers today at camp?
Oh my God, you and Chris Tabor. Like, yeah. Top two performers today. Who did I get my stock up to? stop up to Terrell Dotson. I believe I gave him stock up, even though I don't think that interception would have counted. I would need indisputable evidence, but you know,
ruling on the field was a touchdown. So
you ruling on field was a touchdown, and I would have needed indisputable evidence that it wasn't.
Correct.
I also like what I saw from Zeke Biggers in 1-on-1s. There are long arms that allow him to disengage his blocker, and I like that. I don't know what it can be. I don't know what it's going to become. I like that. David Ojabo. Mm-hmm.
Ojabo.
There's something there. Mm-hmm. There's something there. I don't know what it can be, but there's something there.
Let me ask you this. Is Chop really getting that much better, or are the tackles that bad?
Yes.
Yes.
He's turned Chop a lot, and it's making me happy because yes. We saw a glimpse at the end of his rookie year.
Looking very good.
Yes. Yes, he's looking very good. The tackle's looking very bad. Yes.
But he goes up against Patrick Paul, though.
He don't really do nothing against Patrick Paul.
I know.
You get him from time.
He goes up against a tight end a lot of times too.
Yeah, oh, really? But that's by design. That's by design of the defense.
Yeah, but I know one guy who Chop ain't been having his way with.
Who?
Who
are you talking about? Who?
Who did you just say?
Will Kismarek?
Who did you just say? Yeah, Will exactly.
Nah, man, really? That's first day in pads. Don't let's not do that. Let's not do that.
It's the first day in pads.
TD, that play you highlighted, he got help from Ben Sims. Also, as Chop was getting
I've been watching him all day. I was seeing he was mauling. He would push people to the ground. Who? Like I seen him driving people. Will Kasmiri. Okay. Yes.
Hey, TD, maybe you saw this one. I saw one play that blew me away, and unfortunately, I couldn't from my angle 100% declare who it was. It was very, very early. It was a running play to the left of the offensive formation, and there was an offensive player who got his mitts on Zach Sealer, rode him about 6 yards sideways, and then basically landed on top of him.
I never saw who that player was either. I
couldn't tell if it was Patrick Paul or Caden Proctor. I'm pretty sure it's one of those two.
And it's hard because they're both huge human beings. Correct. So it's like,
I saw that play too, but I saw Zach on his butt, but I didn't see who put him there.
But he got taken for a ride and pancaked like on Jemima style.
Nice. Well, now who are your top two?
But I also saw Kazimir do some false starts.
Yeah.
Some early snaps. So. I don't know if it was like if they would have whistled it or whatnot, but we're doing 1-on-1s. He's in his stance before the defender even gets out the block. And I'm like, huh? That can't be legal.
Ethan Bonner for me was the player of the day. He had a pick, and it's not just because of the pick. He had really good coverage all day. Pretty much.
Welcome
and then,
to training camp, Ethan.
Yeah, there you go. And then beyond him, Malik Washington, who I keep saying is the most consistent, dependable wide receiver on the team. And then Cleveland Farrell also showed me something every practice.
Before we get to TDs, let's real quick talk about the reason he came to Miami instead of San Francisco.
Because nobody else, because the 49ers did not form a contract. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Did I say that out loud?
I'm going by what he said. And he dropped the name.
And then when I think it was Poop who clarified, did Fortnite offer you a contract? And he was like, oh, wait.
All I'm focused on, it was one of those two teams.
Yeah.
Because he brought up Christian Wilkins. I'm just saying. He said that, I'm just saying.
Doug.
What are the odds for no money at all? Because he's still getting paid by the Raiders. Comes back to Miami.
I don't think he would still be getting paid by the Raiders. I think
he's got a grievance file.
No. I think his money will be up now. I think Christian Wilkins' guaranteed money would be up now, but there's something going on with Christian.
No, did you just sign?
The Raiders were withholding. The NFLPA filed a grievance on his behalf, and I have no idea
That should be resolved by now. That should be resolved by now.
I think he's still rehabbing too, though.
Yeah.
That foot.
Like, that would be a real long foot rehab.
You're talking about almost
exactly
2 years, almost 2 years.
Maybe it's something bigger than.
TD, your top twos from today.
Pool Party said Malik Washington. It's beautiful when you find guys that are starting to become like good targets with Malik. And he talked about, I think, with somebody about how he worked, you know, with Malik one-on-one. But outside of that, I got Ollie Gordon showed up today. I thought he ran the ball very well.
A lot of
70-yard touchdowns.
A lot of 70-yard touchdowns.
Hey, say anything more than 4 yards on a rush is good with me.
Right?
TD clearly doesn't know what's going on.
The difference, I don't think.
You
don't know the reference, TD. There was.
We keep citing 70-yard touchdowns.
Oh Lord, well y'all fill me in later. All right. Hold
on. You were there yesterday, right? Did you see? Did you see a 70-yard touchdown yesterday from Ollie Gordon too?
Oh, I thought y'all said 70?
70.
Yesterday?
Yes.
Any day.
Heck no.
Okay, thank you.
He ran the ball today well, but yesterday, he struggled bad yesterday.
Is that what you guys joking about?
Yeah. Oh. Who said 70-yard touchdown?
Omar Flores is yours.
What am I missing?
I'm just being petty.
It was somebody Dolphin person on Twitter. There's a reason.
Never mind. Hey, listen, anytime I hear there's reasons for things, I tune out. All right. But I want to give a third, Doug. Okay, and I think it's important for a lot of people to hear this. The third most impressive, it wasn't even a player. It was the head coach, Jeff Hafley. Okay, I want to give him a shout out because yesterday something happened at the end of practice that it hit me to the core, okay? The defense obviously lost the day, and the defense had to pay for that. And the first thing the defense had to do was push-ups. And you could see all the white jerseys standing up, offense, watching the defense on the ground doing push-ups. And in the middle of the defense was a red jersey doing push-ups. Malik Willis with the defense. Okay. And then I didn't know until this morning when I saw the video of it, because I'm like, I need footage of this. This is real leadership, by the way. Something we ain't had in 6 years at least. But Jeff Hafley was down there doing push-ups too. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that. And then when I saw the footage, I was like, because they were like, no, Jeff was down there too. And I'm watching. I'm like, man, we going to the Super Bowl, baby.
Hold on. There's a reason for that. And that when they do that little contest at the end, Jeff Hafley's in charge of the defense. So he lost too. That's why he was doing the push-ups. More so.
I can't.
But Malik in there doing them?
That's strong. That's very strong.
Defensive line stayed after practice today as well, doing some drills, from what I heard.
Position groups. It wasn't like a punishment this time.
They were just doing extra work afterwards.
Yeah.
Interesting. Real quick, I just want to do a little prize picks here. So this is what they got for Malik. And now this is Malik and Achan. And this is this is the Raiders game, I think. Let me make it smaller so you can see it. Which is interesting that they already got that up. Because they got Devon Achan only 29.5 receiving yards, 76.5 rushing yards against those Raiders, which we're not going to go too far into detail on this. We'll talk about it, you know, the week of the game. Half a receiving touchdown. Then they got Malik Willis, half an interception. So, again, go to Prize Picks. You can already go over there. You can use that promo code HMA, play $5. You new user, you win $150. if you win, which you will. We have faith in you. But they already got stuff for week one up there. So go over, check it out. Use that promo code. Have some fun. I don't know what happened.
What happened?
We just lost Doug. Got all choked up.
Oh, wipe yourself out.
It was acting up. It was acting up on me. I don't know. But anyway, go check out Prize Picks. So looking at the past 2 days for TD, past 5 days for the other two guys, best camp battles that you've seen so far. Start with TD. What you saw the past 2 days, what would you say is the best camp battle going on right now?
The kickers, and one of them got an edge today.
I was going to bring up the kickers. Zingadzal's going to be today from what I'm hearing. But Riley Patterson.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't even know both of their names. I'm up there in the stands like, okay, which one was that one? I don't even know their names.
The way I look at it, one of them is going to make the team.
One of them made one and one of them missed it today. So I don't know. So
too funny.
That's it.
That's your best camp
battle? But no, the kicker battle, and I mean, I think just the back end of that wide receiver room, who gonna step up to say, hey, this guy needs to make the team?
Not even the back end, the front end of the wide receiver room. There's no clear
cut. Come on. Are you sure?
Clear cut starter.
Malik Washington.
Caleb Douglas and Malik Washington gonna start.
I can't argue that, but who's the third?
That's up for the battle.
I don't think Jalen Tolbert is going to stay healthy for.
Well, obviously, since nobody who's not healthy is not going to get the job.
I don't know if it's going to be Jalen. I don't know if it's going to be. It's too early for me.
I guess that's my point, though. Like 3, 4, 5, or if you go 6, I don't. I mean,
Kevin Coleman is a slot receiver. I think everybody's going to have a role.
I'm not.
Yeah. I think everybody's going to have a role. I think best camp battles for me is the tight ends. Anybody can be in that starting lineup with
Ben Sims.
I don't think he's done that hot, to be honest with you.
Well, they put him in a position to earn it.
He's done more than anybody else.
That doesn't mean he's earning it.
But he make plays every day.
Not really.
I'm not talking about a bunch of tons of plays, but he's been showing up.
Just because you show plays. Up, that doesn't mean you make plays.
TD, 45 is Gonzalez, 47 is Patterson. Remember that.
I ain't going to remember that in an hour. Okay.
I'm not paying attention.
Listen, make me remember your name, okay? Make me remember it because I.
Oh, my God.
There's edge rushing competition. Zeke Biggers is the big edge. Then you got Uche, the small edge. Chop obviously is written in stone. David Ojabo. That's it, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Ojabo, okay. Farrell. I like him. I see him. I like him. Now he's beating up on third teamers, so I'm not supposed to tell you that. But
you can.
I like when guys beat up on third teamers. And you know why? Because if you beat up on third teamers, you clearly don't belong on that unit. And you should be elevated up. And I want to see what happens when you get elevated up. Cornerback, there's a Jason Marshall Jr., Ethan Bonner battle that I think people are sleeping on. There's also a Zane Anderson, Michael Taft battle that I think.
Zane Anderson, Michael Taft battle. Sorry, by the way. Oh, there is no Zane Anderson, Michael Taft battle.
There is a Zane Anderson, Michael Taft battle.
Doug, I have to bring this up. I hate to bring this up for you, but sorry. Jeff Hafley, I asked him if an ideal practice for him means the offense wins 50% of the plays, the defense wins 50% of the plays, and he proceeded to the very good long answer, but basically it's about the process. For example, Michael Taft got an interception last week.
He was in the wrong spot.
He was in the wrong place.
Supposedly he thumped somebody today, Michael Taft.
No, that was Willie Gay Jr.
I don't know. Somebody, Willie Gay Jr. I'll look it up.
He tried to hold up, but he got him.
Yeah. Be careful about your sources. Be careful about your sources. Sometimes things can't be believed.
Is this the 70 yards we're talking about?
Exactly.
This is why I follow all of you guys. Because somebody said
we sit there and I'm reading tweets, so I'm like, that ain't happened. Like, and there's a amount of times I'm looking at tweets and I'm like, that didn't happen.
I think Zane Anderson is a very comfortable leader.
Well, do you think also because he has the inside track with Halfley?
I don't know. Because Zane Anderson, that's not fair. You're a liar. Zane Anderson was.
I'm sorry. What?
You're a hard arrow on that one.
You're a liar. Zane Anderson, who I do like, by the way, he was responsible for one of those breakdowns for 50 yards. He bit on a fake.
That was a Juju Brents miss, and I love Juju Brents, but he did something funky, like a bad step turnaround, lost the ball or something on that long pass to Malik Washington. That was weird. And yes, Zane Anderson was in coverage.
Juju is getting beat a lot, honestly. And I did not expect that coming into camp.
But there's a corner who, in my opinion, he's playing great coverage, but it's crazy. The passes are like there have been some perfect passes, and they're caught on him. But I'm like, he's in perfect coverage.
Who are you talking about?
Green, 24.
AJ Green. Okay.
Yeah, like I saw him in several situations. I was like, it's gonna look like you're getting smoked out here, but that's great coverage. That's just a better pass. Like right on the money.
I've only seen him make good plays, not necessarily. I'm not really watching cornerbacks like that, but I haven't noticed him getting beat like that.
No, he's not getting beat, but there's still completions that are had on.
If I don't notice a cornerback, then he's doing his job. Like if I don't notice offensive linemen or cornerbacks, they're doing their job now. So I can't really sit here and tell you that. I've noticed AJ Green for negative plays.
So I will read this and then I will tell you, because there's a guy that I've been hearing again. I'm not there. Omar saw the tweet I put out, the Squidward tweet, where he's watching everyone run outside. That's me right now. Everyone's at a training camp. I'm just sitting here. Physical Ollie Gordon run getting space down the middle and thudded up by Taff around 8 to 10 yards downfield. Patient as he picked his way through a slow developing lane. Did he thud it up? Was there a thud it up?
No.
Because it would make me happy if he thud it up somebody. And I'm not even trying to make fun of this person.
My screen is frozen.
But anyway, Seydou Traore. That man is surprising the hell out of me. I was saying his name.
That was the first day we ever even noticed.
First day we even noticed.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that. So he's surprising the hell out of me. Look at what I'm saying.
I mean, how many plays did he make today?
He had that nice one-handed catch. Was that today or yesterday?
Oh, okay. Because I only noticed one, and I was up there. How you spell his name? That's the only one that I noticed. You talk about the one-handed to the sideline?
I can't spell it. Okay. And to piggyback, Omar talked about this a while ago. He talked about this with Jeff Halfley and a certain player at a position. And this player said, you know, he was asked about going into year two. He says he definitely feels more comfortable. And that starts from being on the outside. Omar, do you know who this player is? He's a cornerback. Because Jeff Halfley said, remember, I think it was you saying it was at the owner's meeting where he was like, he's not in a slot. He's outside.
I think Jason Marshall Jr. admit he's not a slot. They just put him there last year because it's like they ran out of options and they were just like, yeah, let's say this is a good idea. It wasn't. But I haven't really seen Jason Marshall Jr. really make any good plays yet either. So
have you seen him getting smoked?
No, I haven't seen him getting smoked.
That's important.
Okay.
But again, we'll wait till next Wednesday because they're going up against Scary Terry.
I think he's been good. I think Brent had been good, despite what Omar said, until that long.
No, Brent has given up too
many. Like I said, I think he had been good until the last one. And I'm going to keep saying that Ben Sims has been making plays every single day, and he's been the most impressive of the tight ends. I don't care what Omar says. Sorry. Believe who you want to believe. Okay.
Let's get
that's fair. Just because I think he's not a great blocker, and as the guy who's getting first in line for the inline role,
He's better than Dulcich as a blocker.
It's true. That's fair.
Okay.
Is he?
Yes.
Yes.
Because when he got drafted, a lot of what I heard about Traore is he's the guy who's going to get to that second level quickly.
No, we're talking about Ben Sims. No, I'm talking about Traore.
Oh.
Oh,
I was looking at the Ben Sims is he. I feel like Ben Sims was brought in to just be that sixth offensive lineman.
He could be an H back.
You could lose him as a fullback at times.
Who was the H back? 35. I keep seeing him.
35 is a defensive player.
No, the fullback. Sorry.
DJ Herman.
Was that 34?
34. One of 2 34s, and they have 2 17s.
But anyway, shout out to Rem. He said, what's it like aesthetically watching Malik throw the ball compared to arm strength of all the quarterbacks we've had this century? Tua, Tannehill, Chad Henne, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah.
Tannehill had a live arm. Malik is better. Malik is probably just under Jay Cutler in terms of who spun it pretty.
I think they're on par if Malik doesn't have a better arm. And Cutler had a very good arm. I think Malik has just as good an arm.
Should we ask TD?
It's actually shocking. Like I would tell people, Malik has, you know, good arm strength, but, you know, it's not superior. I think he got more arm strength than I originally thought. There was one pass today that was for about 45 yards in the middle of the field with three defenders. It was incomplete, just outside of the stretched arm of the receiver, but it was like three defenders down the field. And here's a way you can judge arm strength. You throwing 45 yards and the ball don't have to go more than 10 feet off the ground, that's arm strength. That's pure arm strength. You ain't got to sail it high to float to get it to the distance. You can just run it. Mm-hmm. And it was an incomplete pass, probably like a 6-inch window outstretched out of the guy's reach. But in triple coverage, I was like, hey, keep taking those shots because those connect. I don't know how it can be stopped. But his arm strength, his arm is live. Omar keeps saying that it is live when it needs to be live. But one thing we got to make sure we're not mistaken, like think about that throw to Taj. He threw it one time where it looked like even Dolphins put the video out, like he's cocking back with all his strength to throw it, right? So what's happening, what people aren't seeing in that video is he got somebody on the backside coming in and somebody up the middle just beat him. He knows, I can still get the ball there. I just need to hurry up and fling it. So he's hurrying up and just letting it rip without worrying about the accuracy or the placing feet. But he's going to throw the football sometimes without the mechanics so he can hurry up and get it out without getting sacked. But he gonna get hit. There's a lot of passes out there. He's standing in the pocket. It's not a sack, but he's going to get hit after he released that football. But right now, he's standing in there doing it, but they're not hitting him. Will he be able to maintain that in the regular season when they're hitting him? Is it going to mess with his head and stuff like that? But we'll see.
That's why he cut out the 7-on-7s. Ian said, Alan, I listened to your pod today. You discussed how several players on the D-line have looked good. I wonder if Ian's dyslexic like me. Is this fool's gold again? And our O-line sucks.
Too early to say that, but there's definitely a right tackle problem right now.
That's why next Wednesday is going to be important. Does Washington have a good D-line and O-line? Off the top of your head?
They used to have two. They used to have a great defensive tackle tandem, but it's been broken up when they had De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen. But Jonathan Allen is
long gone. RMS Angel said, just for TD's take outside of Finn's success, I need Malik to ball out this year. He cannot let TD down.
He told me last night in my dreams he wouldn't let me down.
It's too funny. We'll have that villain arc if Malik lets TD
Malik
down.
Listen, Malik is not going to let us down, y'all. We finally got a real quarterback. Just saying.
Fins Up said Sunday camp felt like grown men at business practice was deliberate. Jordan Phillips looking like he came from a lab. Wondering why 78 can't look the same.
Ooh.
Because Jordan Phillips is in the building when the coaches show up and Kenneth Grant isn't.
Don't say that. That's not nice or fair. Because we don't know it.
Jordan, know it because they've never mentioned Kenneth. And are we gonna really question the idea of Kenneth Grant's work ethic maybe not being quite up to the same? Jordan Phillips pretty obviously has worked on his body, probably more than Kenneth Grant has.
But he came in looking like that, though. He just took it to another
level. Not by accident, dude. I mean, it's
You're absolutely right. Well, he's got
Didn't he have a good day yesterday?
Okay. He made the cleanup play off of Sealy.
Oh, okay.
You know who looked good coming in? Caden Proctor. Everyone was worried about him getting his time off coming back. He looked good. Yep. Taking it seriously.
Big boy, man.
Seriously. Ian said, forget finding a backup right tackle. We need to find a starting right tackle because Jackson has shown he's not reliable. Can't expect him to play 12-plus games. We might already have him on the roster. CWD says, is Malik Washington sealing Jarvis Landry?
Absolutely not.
He can have a good season, though.
Darren Sproles? Would that be his ceiling?
No.
I'm trying to think
Jarvis
of it like
is a different
small...
animal. Jarvis is a different animal.
Yeah, he was a beast.
Yeah, the guys Jarvis. You're comparing him with, you can actually force feed him the football and let him go make plays. Malik Washington is going to be within the system. That's playing well within the system is his ceiling.
Our
good friend Perk threw out of the comp OJ McDuffie, which I think to me is a better comp than either Jarvis Landry or Darren Sproles.
OJ.
The Foo family with a $20 donation. My wife just texted me. She's watching the live stream and she noticed that they donated and she was like, the Foo family donated.
For the record, I've watched the Foo family on their Twitter stream, on their TikTok.
She loves it. She was like, hey, the husband cleaned the house with a leaf blower. You got to watch. It's hilarious.
Yeah, y'all got to go check him out for real, for real.
So is that what the husband does? He just cleans the house? He cleans because I.
He does everything. He does everything. Yeah.
Well, this one's for you, Omar. Do you see a game on the schedule that could be a booty trap game and the Dolphins can win the last dance during the game?
Yeah, this is a whole wild question.
I did go to Booty
Trap Friday night. Yeah, it was a great time at the great establishment. I told y'all. Yeah. And I was encouraged to go because she was watching us, and she was just like, oh, okay, you like it? All right, let's go. And I said, okay.
Yeah, Omar texted the group chat that we have, and he was like, "You see what you guys did?
I just wanted to have a nice night in. Y'all making me go to this trip.
Now we're
going to
go out."
That's
too funny. We're going to do a whole record prediction video again, probably, before the first week of the season. We'll go through the schedule again, and now that we got training camp in our system and see what the team really is, we'll give you our final prediction of the record. Oh, that'll be a fun one. Jose Omar, how's it feel to finally have a good quarterback?
Yeah, Omar, how does it feel?
Pump the brakes.
There's one quarterback who I believe is going to be in the Pro Bowl talk this season, who's going to be paid a lot of money by the Miami Dolphins, and his name is not Malik Willis. I don't know what to expect because I see the arm. I see the ability. I see the intangibles. Can he put it all together in season one as a starter? I don't know. And I would love for him to have had a better weapon. I would need. I know Deebo Samuels looks like he's about 300 pounds now. But he'd always had a bad body.
He's re-signing with a 49er.
Yeah. But I'm saying that type of weapon would have been beneficial for Malik.
If Diggs was available for the right price, is that something you would explore?
That ain't going to happen here. That ain't going to happen here. But
Omar would love
to use it.
No.
Absolutely. Would it benefit him? Absolutely. It ain't going to happen because these guys are worried about toxic people coming into the environment. They're worried about mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
They will run.
But you know one thing about Diggs? When he's in his building, wherever he is, he goes to work. It's just outside the building.
in Miami.
All right. Never mind.
And bad influences. Yeah, bad. You can't have bad influences in Miami.
Keenan Allen hasn't signed with anyone yet.
Who?
Keenan Allen?
He's not going to sign with anybody. He's going to go back to Chargers land.
Chargers are retired. That's another one. But no.
Yes.
Why do they want 45-year-old wide receivers? No.
DeAndre Hopkins. Go get him.
Hey, man. He would bet. Malik would benefit from a slot that can get open and run routes.
He doesn't get open that much anymore because he's so slow now.
Gary says, two questions. Can Ewers run? And any chance Proctor or Jonah moves to right tackle? Jonah wouldn't go to right tackle. He doesn't have the arm.
He had a nice 10-yard run today.
Jonah, I do believe Jonah can go to right tackle. And I do believe Proctor. Jonah can go to right tackle. Tell me why.
I don't think Jonah has the feet to play right tackle in the NFL.
Jonah, you haven't seen him with his feet, number one. Answer this question. Do you think he'd be as bad as Charlie Heck?
What the heck?
Thank you. I'm not ruling out. Jonah's a big dude.
Very big dude.
I'm not ruling out the possibility that Jonah could be an option at right tackle because Jonah has the traits that you would need. The only concern I have would be, does he have the footwork to wall off a pass rusher like John Ronald?
Isn't that what I just said?
I know you just said it, but everybody there doesn't have it.
No, that's fine, but you're literally telling me no.
I didn't say that. We have to look at it. You're acting as if we're not at a point of desperation. You know we're gonna get there.
We're getting there. And by the way,
you know we're gonna get there. And I'm fine with Proctor moving to right tackle. The question is, who replaces Proctor at left guard?
A lot easier to find a left guard than to find a right tackle.
You're right. James Daniels still available, by the way. And you're already paying him $1.8 million.
And I don't think I'm maybe not as high as you guys on yours. He's functionally mobile, but it's not like he's not a.
Oh, no. I mean, he ain't no.
Yours has not had a good first week. He's gotten better.
Yes.
He's a guy who warms up.
Hmm.
And I noticed that from last year. He warms up progressively. Whereas I can say the same thing about Malik Willis. Malik Willis is warming up. He's heating up.
I think he was a lot better last week than you were trying to portray.
I didn't say he was bad.
I didn't hear you, Alan. What did you say?
I did not say he was bad. I just said there are things that I need to see. You get what my standard is for what I want to see during practice. You know what it looks like. You know it.
Tom Brady.
If you don't have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, we're open by 5 yards every play. Again,
they were not open by 5 yards every play. Don't do that.
Seven.
We're going down the rabbit hole. Kelly dropped the $50 donation. She says, Alan, Omar, man. Said it backwards. Can you please ask to get a mic for the reporters' questions in the media room? It's ridiculous.
There is a mic. It does hang.
They're aware of it. In fact, Jeff Hapley, before this press conference,
talked about his mom.
He says, and my mom watches the press conference, and she goes, how come I can never hear the reporter's questions? And then Jeff Hapley turned to look over to Ann. So they're aware of it. I don't know if anything's going to happen.
Get it done, man. Garb Gump says, I was glad for Proctor's false start. A good time to endure the shame and focus of not repeating the mistakes later when it could really matter. Yep, this is when you throw the interceptions, make the fumbles.
That's a great point. He is early. He's either got ridiculously impeccable timing or he is getting off the ball snapped early. And I can't tell which one it is. And we need real refs there to police it, to actually figure it out. But you're 1,000% correct. This is the time to address it. And I can't figure out what's going on, but he's getting off the ball way too quick.
There was one practice last week where the flags were flying all over the place with the officials, and we saw a couple of things like this, but they're not obviously naming who it was.
Ian said, I saw Half saying he's not having players hype up the crowd before practice. So does that mean H.M. Brewer or Brooks shouting, show me the money? I like that he has that screen, too, that gives you the times of when things are going to happen. lets you know.
The hyping up the crowd did not start with Mike McDaniel.
No.
So let's not put that on Mike. The orange jersey started with Mike McDaniel. Music being played still gets played. You just, the volume in special teams is low. It goes up after special teams. Chris Tabor clearly don't want no music.
It's still low in teams.
It's still very low. It's
lower in teams.
And by the way, did Flores have the players hype up the crowd?
I believe we had Joe Philbin. It was going on since Joe Philbin. This is not a coach tradition. This has been something that I've seen going back years. Units. I remember being in Davie and units having to hype up the crowd. I swear. Well, to you.
I think the point is, when did Show Me the Money start?
Keys on My Mind said, never trust a man that says Tootsie's Wings are five-star cuisine.
Tootsie's Wings are five-star cuisine. Listen, hold on, wait. We're not going to disrespect Tootsie's, because Tootsie's had, like, Tootsie's, when they started serving food, they had five-star chefs create the menu, create the food. It has fallen off a bit since then, but think about it. It's not easy to encourage men to eat in a strip club. Like, you know, you don't want to eat. The food has to be really good. And people, I swear to you, people go to Tootsie's to eat. There are food reviews of Tootsie's food.
I'm finding it, and we're reading on the next show.
They're popular food reviewers on YouTube and whatever social media platform. They have reviewed Tootsie's food. Tootsie's seafood lobster rice. It's like
we're not getting seafood.
Oh my, no, the whole menu, man.
Bro, I'm telling you.
Anyway,
there's a whole back room.
Oh my God, how long are we going to be talking about this?
There's a whole back room that's bigger. Tootsie's is the size of an old Publix warehouse. That's what it was. And the back room is literally the size of like five strip clubs put together, and that's where people eat and play pool and watch sports.
Everything you always want to see, but we're afraid to ask.
Anyway, Jonathan Tenner said, enjoy you guys together and separately. Poop is the dad trying to get his kids to understand logic, why TD and Omar don't see his reason. Doug likes this, happens every time we go out. Enjoy the show, fins up. That's true. That's a very
Jonathan.
Good, very good. Garp said, Wilkins, Bell, and Reek midseason, and get this Mostert for basically free. I'm just messing. Get the team. The funny thing is, my old guitarist put on Facebook that we were on the radio a while ago up here in Jersey, and I was like, one last show? People took traction to that, so I might one last time get the band back together. I'll let you guys know, you should come up. Garb Grump said, I heard Alan really wants Reek back. That is all.
It's good for content. I do want him back from that standpoint. Good for content.
Black Ops said, Caleb Douglas, Malik Washington, Kevin Coleman. I have either heard that Kevin is quiet or is he doing good? I could be wrong.
He had one good day, maybe two good days. He's rookies, the expected, like, people have fan bases, and this is why I try not to hype up rookies, because they don't start to heat up until like after the first exhibition game. You're rarely ever going to see consistency from a rookie. Like, they're hot and cold every day, and they're making plays off broken plays and getting lucky, and
Idle Man said, I heard some good things about running back Edwards and Hankerson. Any opinions? Not hearing much about Max Llewellyn or Mason Rager. Any opinions?
It's funny because he mentioned two of the three young running backs, and the one to me who's looked by far the best is Carlos Washington.
I agree. Carlos Washington's looked the
best. Yeah, he's been making some plays.
Nothing at all from Rager or Max Llewellyn.
True Finn fan said, Poop, Omar, your honest opinion on Halfley and Malik. I guess so far, 5 weeks in.
I love Halfley. It's great talk. Show me how you – I don't evaluate coaches until I see how you respond to adversity. And hey, Malik,
the question is, so far, I mean, it's
– Yeah. I mean,
so far, it's very promising.
Everything is so thought out, and I like that. Not to say that Mike didn't have things thought out. Mike did things his way. This coach does things his way. I talked about it in last show. I asked Chris Tabor today about special teams because they do 20 minutes, you know, concentrated at the very beginning. And he says, yes, that's intentionally done. Tabor says he's done that his whole career. If I were to coach a team, I would now structure my special teams period with special teams early first 20 minutes. You know, it shows the importance of it. Whereas Mike, during the Mike era, it was like special teams was the thrown in. If we could fit it in, we could fit it in. And, you know, and it just doesn't give it the influence and respect it deserves.
Fendog said, oh, does Willie Gay Jr. make the 53 poop? / Chris Perkins said probably not.
Well, now before you answer that, Omar, we didn't say that. We said he could be in trouble. I didn't. And after we said probably not. So go ahead.
He's asking me. Yeah. Willie Gay seems like a player that they're going to cut the first week because they don't want to guarantee his contract and then bring him back week two. I don't like the fact that Willie is working on a unit that he doesn't belong. He's making plays on that unit, which is always a good sign. Willie has to shine on special teams, and Willie will not be competing for a starting spot. That's clearly going to
the room is loaded, though, right?
I wouldn't say that. If you're asking me who are talent wise, Willie's talent number three in that room. I don't know what Willie's doing. I have no idea what Willie's doing, but he a lot of people don't like Willie for some reason. Whatever that reason is, Willie don't get no love. And I think Willie makes too many plays to not be getting love.
True Fin Fin said, hey, Doug, love the show. Read backwards. I already did it. Dyslexia. Samo Headbutt said, Omar, how many 70-yard touchdowns did Ollie have
today? There was about 3 70-yard touchdowns. So Ollie did a great job today. Ollie showed up when the pass came on.
This become a big thing or something?
Yeah, Shadow Fate said, love Omar. He also reads Playboy for the articles. Gary said, is everyone going down to Washington Great Strip Club? Jeez, look at where we started. Noel B said, what would a successful year look like for Kenneth Grant?
40 tackles, 3 sacks.
And Black Ops said, for the panel, give me your one favorite rookie so far, excluding the first rounders.
Michael Taft, because I didn't expect it. I'll give him a chance to be a starter. A chance. Yeah, I didn't say he's doing anything, but he's in there.
Okay. Well, Kazmarek, but I'm not hearing anything about him, but I do still like him. So I'm just like Kazmarek.
Favorite rookie.
For me, since poop taking forever, Caleb Douglas.
Oh, really? I'm finding
him. Yeah, he got a lot to work on, but he's starting to, you know, show that, hey, okay, we got a player. Now he just got to make sure he clean up the little things.
And other things is my concern.
My Herald colleague made a great point to me, made a great point that I had not thought about. He said, anytime Malik is in danger and he's doing those improvisational throws, it's always to Caleb Douglas.
I shouted you and Isaiah.
And I was like, I started thinking about it. I was like, oh yeah, all of these little off target bad throws are in Caleb Douglas's direction. Like he's giving Caleb Douglas the more difficult thing. I'm gonna withdraw my response and say Kevin Coleman Jr. I still put him in the lead to become the rookie starter.
Yeah. And then, Alan, you got one or just pass?
I can't say that.
It's all right.
Kyle Lewis, who had done absolutely nothing whatsoever last week, the last couple of days.
And then JJ said, T-Dot, been silent until today. Is it the J-Rod show? I don't think so.
None of the rookies are really doing anything. I don't know why people are obsessed with the rookies because it's a young team and they want rookies to play, but rookies are playing like rookies. They're practicing like rookies.
But we are going to get out of here. I got to go take care of a fussy teething baby. We will see you guys on.
Rub those gums, man. Rub those gums.
Yep. Wednesday. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TDFinstalk, youtube.com/TDFinstalk, and myself at youtube.com/WDWrong. See you guys Wednesday.